Can science tell us anything about morality? They would seem to be completely separate spheres, but there's an argument to be made that moral questions have a scientific basis, and that morality itself is a kind of technology that can be analyzed with the tools of science. Joining us to make that argument is David Reddish, author of the new book, Changing How We Choose, The New Science of Morality. David is a poet, playwright, scientist, and a professor in the Department of Neuroscience at the University of Minnesota. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, I'm David Reddish, and these are five insights from Changing How We Choose, The New Science of Morality. A large part of the problem, of course, is to figure out what we mean by a science of morality in the first place. So let's start with insight number one. We've been studying the wrong game. Science works by burning away the complexity until we can get to a key nugget of truth underneath. And then we can rebuild that complexity, putting it all back together once we understand the parts. When I started writing this book, I realized that a lot of the experiments that my colleagues and I had been studying were really moral experiments. Do you share your resources with another? If another player doesn't share with you, how do you respond? If another player in the game cheats a third player, do you spend your own resources to punish them? Most discussions of morality talked about it in terms of do the right thing, even though we know it's better for you to cheat. But that's simply not our everyday experience. I live in Minnesota. It snows here. A few years ago, when some stranger's car got stuck in the snow in front of my house, we all brought out our snow shovels and dug her out. Of course we did. Why would we do anything else? I'm a teacher. It's in my best interest to help my students be the best they can be. Their success is my success. It's not better for me or for them to cheat. When I collaborate with a colleague, I bring my expertise, they bring theirs, and we create something neither of us could have done alone. People living in societies are not doing the right thing despite wanting to cheat. They do the right thing because they want to. What does it mean to want to? Insight number two, the decisions we make depend on how we process information about the world. We know now a lot about the processes through which humans make decisions. This has been the focus of my laboratory for several decades now, and was the subject of my previous book, The Mind Within the Brain, How We Make Decisions and How Those Decisions Go Wrong. The big discovery in decision-making over the last 50 years or so is that the you who you are is actually made up of several decision-making systems. There are deliberative processes that imagine future outcomes to decide if that's what you want. Procedural processes where extensive practice lets you find the flow. And Pavlovian or instinctual processes that learn when to release an ingrained, instinctual behavior. Deciding whether to take a job or not is deliberative. Hitting a baseball or playing a musical instrument is procedural. And running away from a lion is Pavlovian. But it turns out that laughing with your friends is also Pavlovian, as is that anger you feel when someone betrays you, and that empathy you feel that makes it hard to betray a friend. Each of these systems are instantiated in different parts of our brains. They process information about the world differently, and they use different aspects of that information to make a decision. Each of them learns differently from past experience. We know a lot now about how these systems learn, about how they process information about the world, and that means we can change not only what we do, but also who we are, just by changing the way we think about the world. Call that insight number three. We can change who we are and what we do just by changing the questions we ask ourselves. How I ask you a question can change whether you respond to it with your Pavlovian system with your procedural system or with your deliberative system. And it can change how each of these systems reacts to the problem at hand. Remember, you are all of these systems working together. In the classic moral dilemma of the trolley problem, a train is hurtling towards five people, but you can throw a switch to move the train to another track and save those five people. Unfortunately, there's one person on the other track. Do you sacrifice that one person to save five? Many people say yes. Okay. You're a doctor. You can kill one person to provide organs to save five others. Do you? Most people say no. But wait, isn't that the same problem? Isn't it sacrificing one person to save five others? Why do people give different answers to these two questions? Because the answers come from different decision systems. Different parts of who you are come up with different answers. Moral codes change the question. They change which part of you makes the decision, and they change how that part of you makes that decision. Insight number four, moral codes move us beyond tribalism. Most ethological descriptions of morality talk about tribalism, the idea that humans are naturally altruistic and cooperative within their tribe, but xenophobic beyond it. That's not wrong, but it is deeply incomplete. We have spent thousands of years developing social technologies that allow us to work together in larger and larger groups to escape the bounds of tribalism. It turns out that moral codes are social technologies, just like the way the wheel transformed travel, the way the cell phone transformed our communication network, the way a rocket can take us to the moon. Moral codes are technologies that change the world we live in. These moral codes, these social technologies, have been hiding in plain sight. Systems like the importance of democracy and the moral respect for it that says, if you lose the election, you respect that and try again next time, which, when respected, reduces the violence that can come from policy disagreements. Aspirational goals like all men are created equal, written by a man who certainly did not treat all men as equal, but which enabled later people, not only men, to argue for equality as a moral right, particularly as physical technologies, books, movies, newsreels, social media, enabled individuals to see the lived experiences of others and to recognize that including them in a larger community would be a moral good. These aspirational goals change how we see ourselves. They change our decisions because they change the way that our decision-making systems process information about that world. And thus, they change the world we live in. Which brings us to insight number five. We all do better when we all do better. Moral codes change the world we live in because they change the societies we live in. Remember that much of our environment is other people, that is, society. As we saw in insight number two, the decisions we make depend on an interaction between who we are and the world we experience. Changing the question changes that world and changes the decisions we make. Moral codes are toolkits to change ourselves, which changes our decisions, which changes our societies, which changes our world. They make a world where, to quote the late Senator Paul Wellstone, we all do better when we all do better. Writing this book has been a fascinating journey for me, bringing together what appear to be deceptively simple economic games with sociological studies of ranchers in Northern California and lobstermen in Maine, along with how those codes interact with the neuroscience and psychology of decision-making, and exploring the consequences not only for our current societies and our current problems, think climate change, but also for the future ones we are going to find when we encounter aliens and intelligent machines. I hope you find it as fascinating a journey as I did. and I hope you enjoy the book. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, David. That was David Reddish with 5 big ideas from Changing How We Choose, the New Science of Morality. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Thanks for listening.